The Home Office has settled a case with a black woman for £2,000 after she alleged an immigration officer at Belfast City Airport stopped her because she looked foreign. Her case, which was supported by the Equality Commission, was settled out of court with no admission of liability. The woman, who has been in the UK for 16 years and holds a British passport, has said, "I thought then, and I still think now, I was stopped because I am black." Dr. Michael Wardlow, Chief Commissioner of the Equality Commission, with us this morning. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What are your thoughts around this?
Well, we took this case, Stephen, because, well, two reasons, I guess. The black community in Northern Ireland is actually quite a small community. The census said there's just about 3,500. And obviously, like, they're very visual in the community. And so that was the first thing. Small number, very few of these cases will come forward to us. The last one we had, in fact, the other one we had dealing with immigration was 10 years ago when a man was falsely imprisoned and got a settlement. So that was the first. The second was because this was to do with what we believe to be prejudice. And it raises all sorts of issues about racial profiling and how people look. So here was a woman who is a British citizen, British passport holder, has worked and paid into the economy in the UK for 16 years, the last two of which have been in Northern Ireland. She has a partner, she has two children, and she's working here. She went up to George Best Airport. A friend gave her a lift. She was there to leave her mother-in-law to a plane that was going back to GB. Mother was in-law is a wheelchair user, so she went over, left mother-in-law off. She was standing waiting outside the coffee shop when she was approached from behind by an immigration officer. And she alleges the immigration officer said she looked foreign. She was asked for an ID. She said she was a British passport holder. And the man then went and radioed behind her in full view of people sitting in the cafe. And she was standing with two children, basically having her migration status checked out. And then, of course, he said, "You've nothing to worry about. Everything's okay." So you can imagine, you know, probably one of the very few black people standing there being singled out, as she believes, simply because of her colour. A couple of children there who've now said, "Mom, do we have to carry passports with us?" So for us, this exemplified the fact that, you know, the stereotyping that goes on here, we've had it for years with the Protestant Catholic thing, the rise in hate crimes, the race hate crimes in Britain. We have about four every day reported here. And it accounts for about 12% of the cases come to the commission. So it's just not acceptable, Stephen, when we're trying to create a multicultural society that someone singled out simply because of their skin colour.
Well, there's been no admission of liability.
No, absolutely.
It's a strange one, this, Michael, because the Home Office has apologised. So they've said sorry to the woman for any offence caused.
I think this is the important thing. So,
but they haven't admitted liability.
No, but there are two different things here. We all know, and we're all sort of skilled in the art of saying, "I'm sorry that you were hurt by what I said," but you're not saying you're sorry for what you said. Two different things. They haven't apologised for what they did. They simply said, "We're sorry that you had there was an offence here. We're sorry that you were degraded. We're sorry, you know, the form of questioning," and obviously then agreed for a settlement. We're not allowed, obviously, to name the immigration officer. We can't, for reasons that I'll talk to in a minute, we have to anonymise the woman herself. So although they didn't admit liability, there was a payment of £2,000 made, and they have said they are fully committed to equality principles. So it didn't go to court, and therefore, in a sense, it doesn't set any legal precedent. But what it does do is to say that this is not acceptable, that the Home Office did say we accept that there was that this woman felt offended, her dignity was challenged. They didn't admit that the migration officer said, as she believes, you know, you look foreign. So in that sense, none of that was. But the fact was, they admitted by giving £2,000 and saying that they are sorry that she was offended, at least we've got something there.
And obviously, you think it's very important to pursue individual cases like this to set the precedent that it's unacceptable.
Well, we take about 70 cases every year, Stephen, of the 3,500 that come to us. And we take them on a principle that says, does this actually raise awareness of legislation? Does it challenge prejudicial attitudes? And does it actually help people? So it's not about the money or the quantum. It's not about the commission. But we believed in this particular case that if we're trying to say in Northern Ireland, where we are growing incomers. I mean, if you look at the last sort of 10 years in the last census, you know, 2% of the people here, Stephen, now who live in Northern Ireland weren't born here, weren't actually born in the EU. And now we move into a period of uncertainty. about what migration laws are going to look like, about, you know, whether or not people feel they're going to be welcomed here. And when you have someone who wasn't even traveling, you know, she was not airside, and she was stopped, and she was challenged simply because of her skin colour. I mean, that sends a terrible signal out. So we've got to say this is not acceptable.
Where does the law stand, and where does the Equality Commission stand, Michael? And I'm not talking about this specific incident, but in terms of positive profiling.
Okay.
So I'm thinking to myself of a situation where, if there was, and let's not talk about this specific case.
Yep.
But if there are immigration officers, say anywhere in the UK, and if they are attempting to identify people who are in the country and they shouldn't be, is there more likelihood that those people will not be white because they're coming from elsewhere, and therefore, statistically, have the immigration officers got a better chance if they stop non-white people more frequently?
Well, what we do know is in UK generally.
I'm even slightly nervous asking that question, but it's logical,
but I think
isn't
it? You're absolutely right to raise the question. It raises this thorny issue of what's called racial profiling that's been going on for a very long time. And as you know, race is actually about physical characteristics. So it's been everything from, you know, your skin colour, your size, the shape of maybe your nose or your ears. These are all things that give people certain characteristics. And this is not a new thing. It's been going on for decades in different areas. I mean, going back like 1,200 years, there was a particular tradition that happened that got rid of people simply because of the size of their noses. This was nothing to do with Judaism, by the way. This was simply a race in Asia. And they just decided everyone who's got a particular characteristic we're going to get rid of. Racial profiling has a long history. Now, in more recent times, it's been used because of some of the problems of terror. Now, the evidence that is out there is that there are much better ways to be able to challenge some of the threats that face us than simply pulling someone out because of how they look. There's all sorts of things from intelligence to, you know, soft, hard intelligence, because rather than simply saying they look different. Now, the issue for us here is there is an exception that there's a ministerial authorization in 2011 that actually said the Immigration Service can actually be exempt from race discrimination if they're pursuing their immigration duties on ethnic and national origin. Now, this is one that we, the Human Rights Commission, both here and in Britain, the international committees have actually said is wrong and should be struck down. So it's been around from 2003, and then eventually there was a ministerial exclusion in 2011 that says it is possible in pursuit of immigration duties that you can set aside discrimination for ethnic and national origins.
Right.
So that's one thing. We think it's wrong.
Yeah, so you can racially profile people legally.
No, this is not about racial profiling. It's actually the way it's put is very distinctive. It talks about migration, immigration authorities allowing a more rigorous examination because of ethnic and national origin. Now, what does that mean? Because obviously, for us, it's wrong. We think it should be struck down. We don't think there should be an exception. Human Rights Commission said the same thing. The international community says the same thing. And in fact, 2 days ago, colleagues here from the Committee for the Administration of Justice have just published a report as well, where they're saying that this shouldn't be happening. So we actually feel this is wrong, Stephen, that anyone, and not just about terror-related things, this isn't just about immigration, it's about no one should be judged simply because of what they look like. There are much better ways, and there's a separate political debate that has to be taken on here. But to simply say, here's a black woman, she looked foreign, she looked different, and she was stopped. And black men in Britain, Stephen, are five times more likely to be stopped and searched than white men. That's the actual figure. I mean,
It's incredible, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, when I think here, we have, about 1.7 million people.
Yeah.
2% don't have come from places outside the EU, but we've only just over 3,000 black people. So, you know, we have a very, very small black community here. We have about 6,000 people who would call themselves mixed race. So these people, when they walk out in the streets, are markedly different because of their colour. So whenever somebody is stopped, they're challenged, they're told they look different, they look foreign, in full view of people sitting having a cup of coffee. This is simply not the way things should be done, regardless of whether or not the Immigration Service has a duty or can actually, in some shape or form, pursue racial profiling.
I wonder what the statistics are, just finally, Michael, for Irish people, and whether we are stopped anymore going through airports. It used to always... It used to always wind me up that they had a special door for us.
It used to really wind me up. Well, I do know, you know, that I've travelled a lot, like I know you have, and travelled whenever the so-called troubles were on here. And I can remember a number of times being treated differently because my passport said I came from
That wouldn't North happen Ireland. Anymore with us going to London or Manchester or anything like that, would it?
It certainly hasn't been my experience. But I have to say, Stephen, I lived for a couple of years in Africa, and I lived in a remote area where I was one of only about half a dozen white people. And I have to say, I know what it's like living as a minority community among a majority community. I have to say, in all my time there, I was never treated other than I was different, but that difference was actually celebrated. Mm. There was curiosity there. Someone might have asked me about my background, but never once was I felt, when I went into a public place, I need to be careful. The irony of this, Stephen, is the very thing that we want to raise by this case, i.e. that this shouldn't be going on and that people shouldn't be discriminated. The reason that we've anonymized this is because if we named the woman, we named her family, there is a fear that she has that there could be some comeback, some kickback, that she might be discriminated against as a result. So the irony of us trying to raise awareness is that she feels that she can't be named. And in fact, we know about 1 in 5 people who suffer from racial abuse don't come forward. So we want to encourage people. You know, there's migration services here, the migration support group, there's ourselves. People should not put up with racial abuse or discrimination. There are laws to protect you. Also, as you can see, against the Home Office, they're not immune, even though they're Westminster governed, and that's a reserved matter. But come to us, talk to our colleagues, and we can help you be aware of what your rights are.
Okay, really interesting. Michael, thank you very much indeed. Michael Wardlow, Chief Commissioner of the Equality Commission.